Anyway, we get into Proverbs. Remember last week I told you that there are certain words that you need to sit in and remember back of what the writer of Proverbs means when he says these things to describe wisdom. And do you remember what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Knowledge is anything that there to be learned. In the godly way, spiritual wisdom in the godly way. But we have words like wisdom, you'll see instruction, you'll see, remember what instruction was all about? Instruction concerns discipline. So when you see the word instruction in there, in this context, it's going to be discipline. Prudence is going to come up in the first chapter. Remember what prudence is. Forethought or foresight concerning the future effects of which you're going to say. The word simple is going to come up quite a bit. Simple does not mean simple mind. Simple means, in this case, it means a sinner, a rascal who will not adhere to God's word. Knowledge primarily means information. So when you see knowledge, it's just information. Discretion. And that's respect for what is desirable and appropriate for whatever we what comes out of our mouth. Learning. That's the ability to execute what knowledge is all about. A sample of that, you can study baseball, learn all the records about baseball, all the things about baseball, you get to play baseball. You have learned. When you see the word here, E-A-T-A-R, whenever you see that means it's the time you need to obey it. It says here, this means you should obey it. Sound counsel. Where is the source of sound counsel? God. God is the primary source of sound counsel. Which says understanding. What does it mean when it says honest understanding? Honest sense, false sense. Right. And basically, that's what Proverbs is all about. That common sense, nowhere do you find when you go through Proverbs that IQ or intelligence is mentioned as a necessary talent to understand Proverbs. Or you from? Is there anything in the comments where we get started? Okay, in chapter 1, we will stop right on off with the thing we just said. It says, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So you know who's the author. In fact, he's the author of the first 29 chapters, 30 and 31, of David and women. He says, to know wisdom. And instruction. So what did we say instruction was? That's discipline. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Justice. Judgment and equity. In the God through the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Is setting down with you and I at this point. He's kind of lowered the level that he wants to communicate with us on us. And he wants you to understand from the very beginning what he's talking about and what he wants us to hear to. And he wants to develop a conversation based on his will, not our will. And he just said, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. What is prudence? Foresight. And then in verse 5, he comes over to a wise man. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to have godly wisdom. We'll hear and increase the learning. We'll increase the ability to execute. A wise man. A man of understanding. Would we say understanding what? Forces. A man of common sense, forces, will obtain wise counsel. And we know that wise counsel is not from common sense. Bible is our basis for wise counsel. Godly counsel. In verse 50 says, to understand. Come back to that word understanding. Remember, whenever you see that word, you just have common sense that God wants you to have. To understand a proverb or an enigma. An enigma, by the way, is a hidden truth. It's something that's worded around, but the core or the basis of it is a hidden truth. To understand a proverb or an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddle. Sometimes people talk in notes and journals. Sometimes the Bible will talk or be read as a riddle. It's a myth that still sends a new and challenging to dig in and do what you're talking about. See how this relates to it. So it's not a rule that you never will understand. It's just a way of challenging you to put together the whole words of God. The fear of the Lord. And this is up to this point. This is probably one of the most important verses we read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I want someone, if they would, to turn to Isaiah 11:2. If you would, if someone turn to Psalms 2:11. And someone to turn to Job 28:28. And I'm going to turn over to Isaiah. And here's what we're talking about. We need to get this understanding too. But we're talking about the fear of the Lord. 28:28. Proverbs. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 8:15. Because then we're talking about the fear of the Lord. But when so he means here. God isn't something that we have a terror in our relationship with him. There should be no terror in our hearts whatsoever but having a relationship with God. So what is he talking about when he says the fear of the Lord? But someone read that first one up there, Isaiah 11:2. So it's all incorporated in enough. If you want to boil it down, it's an awesome respect of who God is and what he represents and his concern for us. Psalm 2:11. Pride and arrogance and the evil left. So if you go to fear the Lord, then those things that the Lord hosts, those things he can spend his sin with, you test them to the point that they're not a part of our communication, that you can use the word it, so that they have a knowledge. So then we know that basically what you need by the instructions and simplicity and equity. You sort of get into what he said, I'm just sitting here with you, I'm going to throw over you what I want you to learn about what you are not to do, what you stay away from. He says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. If we look maybe this is a New Testament, in Ephesians, really matters in just Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. I know we've all been through this in our study of the Bible. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment and the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. But here he's in another thing we need to settle on Proverbs before we get all the way into it. But whenever he says, my son, he's talking about my daughters too. Because in that time and place, the son was counted above the daughters and the folks in the direction of giving them. But it certainly provides to the daughters too. So you do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments around your head and chains around your neck. And we mentioned this last week so that we understand what they're meaning here. Back in those days, a chaplet or an ornament that was given to you was the highest show of respect that you could have. But a king was the show of honor to you for something you did for him this king. He would give you one of these things if you were ever given to him. If anybody saw it, that was the highest respect you could have. Honored to be wearing what he had on. He says, so there will be a graceful arm around your head and chains around your neck, so that all can see. Give you an example of this, by the way. Daniel 5:28. You might turn to Daniel 5:29. But remember Daniel, how he was loyal to the king, and then someone wanted to book him off, so he told the third one of them to do it. Somebody read that Daniel 5:28. This is the honor of the king to serve the country. Anybody get that?
The kingdom is divided in every 2 minutes. And two of God's command, Daniel was both in trouble and his whole chains placed around his neck.
It is Daniel, a Jew, who claimed the third highest in all that kingdom. So it was a great honor. It wasn't just something you wore for an ornament like people did in the cross up there. This was a great honor. If one saw you with one of those around you, you earned that, and you earned their respect. Remember we talked about 2 pounds of sin and sin is, it's not 2 pounds of sin, it's the Hebrew translation of sin. That there was a Kantian sin and there was a Tekatorian sin. Does anybody know the difference between the Kantians and the Tekatorians? It can't be in the spirit. Children of sin. We're guilty of that. We're all sinners. No matter how pure we think we are, we sin. And we depend on the prayer of God to forgive us. That's the authority, yeah. It's what you're seeing on TV. A lot of men in the middle of showing up. It's when there's malice in someone's heart that they're planning to hurt someone that seems to be, you know, throwing them down. Old people, it doesn't matter. Homeless people, kicking in the air. And they plot this. It's not just that something they come up with. They plot evil in their heart. They go out and look at for someone to the heart. I remember not too long ago, we were talking about a group called Supper Party. The guy was the son of him, was sitting in his heart. They let the guy walk by like he was a friend, a stranger, and then turn around to his back and sit and just hit him right in the face and tossed him and touched him. He hit him so much, he just looked on TV and looked at him. Be careful that our hearts never get into that kind of death. Those people just live in that atmosphere. And I don't know what sick fathers TV and you see it in that day. In the old days, you didn't see it happen. But I feel so sorry for those old women. And that person has to have sin, even with him. These next few verses, and this is why I just wish that had happened. This is probably through my younger years. Most of us have raised our families. But we still have grandchildren. We still have nieces and nephews we can talk to. From the warning that he gives his father to him, he says, my son, my daughter, please, if sin is enticed you, do not confess. Send attention if he wants you to do evil. When you give him the least hint that you'd be interested in what they are to. If they say, come with us, that's the basic fear, by the way. Let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us learn secretly to answer the kind of call. You wonder why these youngsters are attracted to the gangs that they have in these big cities. And not 100% of them, but I'd say 99.5% of them are home. But they don't feel love, number one, and they don't have basic instructions, number two. And the gang didn't have family. It's an appeal for them. Hey, you can throw them with us, you guys. You can rob this place and things. You can throw them under them. I'll show you what we're going to get them. This thing, steal the shoes. It's an appeal for them for family. It's basically they actually come for their family. And but you and I can't relate to that because we came over to stay at home. The gangs in this country are going to lose because we don't have a home life. We don't have a mother's life to give them instruction. And they use this wording, come on, go with us. We got a place on the end. We've already got so much stuff that we've stolen and shared with it. You can give them, you can share. And then it's a little plot to get these other people. We find all kinds of precious possessions. We can steal everything. We know where the car is. We know where the doors are locked. We know where the we can join us. And we can go off. And so
that and there is what they do and do something in return. That's how they come.
It does sound real silent to you. It should just harm to that person a little bit. It shows you if you're one of us.
Right.
You go do that.
Show me how loyal you are to me. That's what they do. That's how they do it. Really innocent kids in choosing because they know they don't have it. They might not have that. You know, because I already see you all kind of feel it. So, okay, I'm going to get this one. That's how they
do.
They give them whatever they want. And that's how they
do. We need the secretary, the secretary, and the secretary. We need the special business. It's been hard. For 12 to 13 years, that involved with the and his best friend, supposedly his best friend, that went into the game with him. They assigned his best friend. Can you get it? That was his friend that he was afraid of. If he started going to prove to the game that I'm one of you guys, you got to go. Every time you go, you're going to do a trial. You don't fill the role for it. So that's how, and that's what God is trying to tell us here. That kind of attraction right there. And the portion that we got out is here. But we're going to run across. I mean, the little one puts an opportunity where we can plead, beg, or show a young fellow, a young girl, or a young boy, and we can acknowledge that something out of it and to listen to this fellow right here. Let us have one person. Not only do this, but I have a big pile of them that belong to all of us. With my son, do not walk from there. Your foot away from their pad. Don't even associate with them. Don't even have a conversation with them. Or they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain you will never spread in sight of any river. It's so obvious to what the end result of that kind of relationship is going to be. A bird, you see the left hand of the net with a bullet flying out of that foot. So surely in vain you will never spread. He says, but they rhyme and wrote for their own blood, and this is what I told you about it. It happened here with the two fellows. He had no idea he was such a good man. All the rich people said, you belong in this world. They learned secrets for their own life. So they are, some are the ways of everyone with whom you forget. You know, we talked about the love of the source, and you know, all these. When you talk about easy, easy this, easy that, that's the way of these kind of things. They were trying to entice you in. It takes a life from dawn. It takes a life away, and this life can be there, and sure it's going to take away. I told you that a great proverb is soon to come, and I absolutely think that they're going to come for me as well. But I would give, and by the end of the time I got to the end of the third chapter, there was so much of this to fathom that I never truly fathomed it, and I never truly let it sink into me. I just want to the next chapter and the revival to get to the end. I know enough with all my heart that God wants us to sit there and let him talk to us in this chapter for the end of this program. And by that time, his mindset will be how much. who will know when the ministry happens in our life. We'll know when we spot a young individual who's starting to be in trouble because he knows the people that mess around with us are in trouble, trying to get in the hill. We'll know that we can stop this. And I think with all my heart, this is why a lot of Proverbs is repeated, principles repeated throughout, because I know the heart is, then we need to have not to God. I know how hard it is. And the many times that I've read that, I realize that it's God. I want you to sit there and have a conversation with him. And we can do this probably for a 45-minute conversation, but we should all understand. We can talk about it with people with wisdom, Christians with wisdom. Of course, we've got sorts of wisdom right here. And not get bored. And we go on for an hour or 2 hours, it doesn't take you to be on fire. So I hope that you're enthused about getting this with me, because I'm getting a better prepared for the season. I'm losing the United States. We're going to run out of time. And if I'm not, if I have to, we'll send it to 6 months. But we want to make sure that we get out of here from God and take care of it. And everybody in here has wisdom. You have wisdom now. You've got to get wisdom from your own experiences in life. You've experienced things that I have problems, and I know I in my age, 40 years I can say that. So we're also, and you get experience out of the way through what happens. Some of the wrong things you turn into life. Everything you get wisdom from that, you get wisdom for some good things. But we want to share. Particularly when you give them one of these things, the touch of your person, you can share it with your brother. This is the one for wisdom, by the way. First John, verse 20. Here's how it's important God thinks of you. Wisdom calls the light inside. She raises her voice and says that. In the open square. In other words, she's crying and pleading with us. She cries out in the cheap conference. Nothing bashful than wisdom. Nothing to be ashamed of by being with. She says, the opening of the gates of the city, she speaks her word. How long, you simple one, how long, you simple, when you love simplicity, when you love stuff. Why don't you listen to me? He's supposed to be able to make it home. He's with. For the spooners delight in their scorn, the fools hate knowledge. Don't use the fools. Don't want to hate knowledge. Discerning my rebuke, in other words, listen to me. Listen right now. I'm talking to you. Surely that I will pour out of my spirit on you. And God will promise. If you listen to him, he's going to share his spirit with you. If you pour it out on you, his spirit. I will make my words known to you. You will understand. I told you, God, nowhere in the mentions that you've got to have an IQ or a higher IQ to understand what you're saying. Because I have called, you refuse. You didn't eat, but I try to point the stuff out to you. But I try to point the difference with that. But the consequence of poor life is that hearing the one say. He said, I stretched out my hand and no one was wrong with it. But because you sustained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, none of my discipline, except none of my discipline. In the last days, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock your terror when it comes. And your terror comes like a storm. And your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. The first reaction to this is, that's pretty strong. dismiss this? Do you know that? Will you become a queen from the religion? If you will, we don't have to read it in Matthew 25, 10, 15. It's also very God is one of the examples of the land. It's not fair enough for all the countries. So to have God talk to us in this way, when your spirit comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when you are stressed and anxious, that's it. To me, that's it. The New Testament teaches that as a principle. Okay? There's no way to come back. Their way is done in God's way. And when you place him in the happy way, that's when it's destroyed. Is that third verse in the answer, but because God ends this with a promise to us. But whoever listens to me, that's you and me. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure, without fear of evil. And this God promised you at a time in your life when you're assaulted or people take advantage of you, you might be punished for something. No. This is what you'll dwell safely in there. The gospel of that. Thank you.